This is Sheila Keegan-Nurmi.
Hi, this is Paul Gagne.
This is Mark Fulberg.
I'm going on mute.
Deep Grass.
Martha Smith.
Anika Modere.
Walt Harbaugh.
Ed Burney.
Hello, this is Jack Molesky. I'm the moderator of the conference, and you should press *6 to mute your phone during the conference. We expect quite a few people to be on the conference, and we don't want dogs barking and things of that nature. So if you could press *6 to mute your phone, we will have questions and answers after Bill Costello finishes his presentation. So please write your questions down, and we'll have that Q&A after Bill goes through his slides. Bill, are you on the phone? Not yet. Ava, are you on the phone?
Mary Church?
Ron Feldman.
Yeah, please press *6 to mute your phone. Okay, we're waiting on Bill Costello, who's the speaker, and Ava Schultzman, who's going to put these slides on the internet. If you don't have the slides. If you don't have the slides, they were mailed out to people that responded, and you should have those. If not, you can log on to the internet and follow the slides during the presentation. In the information that you received, there's a place to click where you can have those slides presented on your internet screen.
Al Rusner.
Bill Costello, are you here yet?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Ava, are you here yet? Okay.
This is Marilyn Goodrich, and I've just joined the call.
Greg Rogers.
Hello,
okay,
Greg.
Ava, are you on the phone yet?
I am on the phone.
Okay, so those of you that would like to follow the slides on your computer, you can log in and follow the slides. Otherwise, the slides have been mailed to you in, I think, a PDF format. Again, this is Jack Molesky. I'm the moderator of the call. I won't be speaking very long, but if you would all press *6 to mute your phone, we will have questions and answers after Bill Costello goes through his slides, so write them down, and we'll have plenty of time to have Q&A after that is the case. So, Bill.
Yes, sir.
The floor is yours.
All right, thanks, Jack. This is Bill Costello. I worked for Digital in Pittsburgh, PA, for 12 years, 84 to 96. And I spent 23 years in IT, primarily sales and marketing jobs. I work for other companies, More Business Systems as a manager. I also work for IBM at Ernst & Young, and also an IBM business partner. I was a part owner of that. I left the IT industry in 2002 and started working for the federal government in 2003. So it's a big transition to make a career change. And if you look back a little bit in time, I had a plan for that even at Digital. So what I did was I worked on a master's degree in adult education, human resource development and training at Penn State, a local campus, so to prepare myself to move into education field. However, I wanted to go into teaching college. What I found that full-time wise, college teaching doesn't pay a lot of money, so I do that on a part-time basis now. I teach for two different community colleges here in the area, and I work for the PA Air National Guard as a contracting officer. So since I joined the federal government, I've moved up three continually levels in the federal government, different positions. But I will caution a lot of you out there, if you're interested in federal employment, you're going to take a huge pay cut. I took a $40,000 pay cut to take my first federal job. So that's one thing. If you're looking at a career change, and I have a list of questions. I've answered many of the questions on email, and a few of them related to career change. I did my career change at age 47, and, of course, you can imagine my spouse wasn't very happy about a $40,000 pay cut. So what I wanted to do is to give you some information about how to land a federal job and some of the steps you might want to take. And I don't know if there's anybody out there that's actually looked for a federal job or tried to apply. It's a very arduous process. Sometimes it'll take you 3 or 4 hours to apply for one job. And we'll get into it a little bit later, but you want to make sure you're applying for a position that you think you're qualified for. If it's something that, I might have some qualifications for this position, I wouldn't even waste my time. So it's a long process, and a lot of time and effort expended. So basically, that's part of my presentation, the resume. I don't get into all the details about that, but just so you know, I was in IT for 23 years. I'm also an Air Force veteran. So if there's any people out there that are military veterans, especially Vietnam era, that can help you land a federal job. I mentioned the education part of things, Penn State and Point Park for BS in business. If anybody's interested also in teaching college, I can help you on how to find a job there. Has anybody out there used USA Jobs or is aware of what USA Jobs is?
Yes.
I've gone out there.
Okay. USA Jobs, it's a site that's run by Monster. And I wanted to bring it up to you because if you've been using any type of other sites, you might be more aware of the ins and outs of using an online system. About a year ago, someone hacked this system through Monster. Now, when you apply for a federal job, you're putting your life history out there, including your Social Security number and a lot of other things they want off you. So just be cautioned that if you can apply for a federal job, hard copy, I would do so. Sometimes you cannot. You have to do it online. A lot of these positions will require an online questionnaire. It takes a long time to do. But if you're doing the online questionnaire and you're seeing that I really don't have a lot of these qualifications they're asking for, what they'll do is they'll list a bunch of tasks that you do in the job. If you're seeing a lot of once in a while I've done that, never did it, just stop and move on to the next position.
Yeah, well,
another thing to keep in mind when you're on the USAjobs.com site, and actually I have that up right now. So if anybody has any questions, I can help you later with navigating through there. It's really good search techniques you can use to save you some time. And also be aware of locality pay. The federal government pays according to where you live. So everyone has a base salary for their level. Then if you live in a high cost of living area like D.C., you're going to make 2 or 3 times what I make in locality pay. So you want to keep that in mind. If you're looking at a position, it may not show the locality pay, so it's something you could dissuade you because you're afraid the money's not enough for you to live on. But on the other hand, there might be locality pay involved. So what I'll do later is I'll get into the OPM.gov site, which is the Office of Personnel Management, and that can help you to determine the type of job, the job series, job descriptions, all that's in there, along with pay. So that's one thing that you may want to look into before you start diving too deep in the pool, application pool for the federal government. So just to review, so far what I've talked about is the main site for federal employment is usajobs.gov, G-O-V. The next site, which is the job descriptions, job series, pay, benefits, things of that nature, is OPM, Office of Personnel Management.gov. Those are the two main sites you'd want to look into for federal government employment opportunities. Now, I had a few questions. One question was, how do I find state positions? Well, that's hard for me to say because we're all from different states. But I do have a link in here to show you how to apply for a job in Pennsylvania, which may help you. Another thing, another question I had from someone else recently was, are there jobs in the federal government that aren't on USA Jobs? Well, yes, there are, although many federal agencies are actually looking to put all their jobs on USA Jobs. Some don't. So what you want to do is, if there's an agency that you're interested in, is go to their website first. First thing is, find out, are there any jobs posted there? And secondly, are they using USA Jobs? And then from there, you can find out what positions are available in that agency. So what that takes is a lot of research on your part to find out what agencies are predominant in your area. For example, if you're around the D.C. area, if I look at USA Jobs in D.C., I'm going to guess there's over 10,000 jobs out here. But if you live in a small town in the middle of nowhere, in the Midwest somewhere, there may not be very many agencies near you. So what you have to do is, you have to take a look at the positions that are out there. Also, there's field positions sometimes that are listed for a state or a county where you're actually out in the road. Say, for example, with the USDA. So you take a look at other positions that may not come up in your locality. And it's generally by zip code area. Right now on USA Jobs, there's over 46,000 jobs listed on the website. And if you listen to what's happening with the federal government, there's probably going to be an additional 200,000 jobs under the Obama administration. Now, whether that comes to pass, it's hard to say. The other thing that's good to look at from a federal jobs perspective is that most of the federal workforce are baby boomers. They're my age, and they're retiring. If they started in high school at 18 or after college at age 22, 30 years in the federal government, you can retire. So you're seeing a lot of people leave the federal government right now, and there's a lot more opening positions than there were even 5 years ago. So you have a combination of a Democratic administration, which will always grow government, along with a lot of retirees. So there's good opportunity. And as I mentioned, in the federal government, too, there's a lot of people that are employed today with high school diplomas. Well, their jobs now are posted as needing a degree. Two of the three jobs I've held in the federal government, I had to have at least a four-year degree. So if you keep that in mind, there's opportunity for growth because those people basically could not move up because they didn't have the education. But if you do have education, higher level education, it'll help you move up in the federal government. Okay, as I mentioned to you, there are some other sites out there that you can use, and I can give you a few that I've looked into. One is on my slides. It's the Air Force Personnel Center. In my first job in the Air Force, I worked as a straight civilian for the Air Force. So don't be discouraged if you see jobs that are Department of the Army, Department of the Navy, Department of the Air Force. That doesn't mean you have to be in the Army, the Navy, or the Air Force to work there. You can actually be employed as a civilian in those type jobs. Air Force Personnel Center does list their jobs on their website and also on USA Jobs. Another one I've applied in the past was the OPMs themselves. We have a large OPM center north of Pittsburgh in a secure location, and they also post some of their jobs on their own site. Another one around here is the Office of Surface Mining. They post their jobs on their own site, and so does the Army, Department of Army Corps of Engineers. So if you take a look at various agencies, like I mentioned to you, you might want to do research to find out what agencies have a presence in your metropolitan area, and then from there, research their website, and then move on to USA Jobs. Okay, now, again, I had some questions about state employment. Don't overlook the state and municipal governments. They also have opportunities. However, with the economy being tight right now, a lot of states and municipals are having a lot of trouble with tax revenue. And, of course, they can't print their own money like the feds. So, like even our state here, Pennsylvania, you may have heard of California on the news. There's a lot of state cutbacks coming, pay cuts, things of that nature. So if you're looking for a more stable employment opportunity, you might want to stick with the federal government. But I do have a link to show you how to apply for a job with the National Guard. Another thing, the National Guard, if you're a veteran, that's a good place to look for a position. Generally speaking, the National Guard, Army, and Air Guard jobs are listed on state websites. They're not on USA Jobs. So some are under the governor's office. Some are under, like, Homeland Security. I know Kentucky and Tennessee are like that. Ohio is listed under a different agency. I believe it's some kind of, like, Bureau of Law Enforcement or something of that nature. So you have to sort of look around on those websites to find out. But if you have military background, and like in our state, we don't hire straight civilians in the National Guard, Army and Air Guard, but some states do. But if you have military background, that would help you more with the National Guard jobs. Now, what I wanted to do, since I had the caller myself, we had someone that was going to be on the call, but he had to cancel. I had some other questions that I've answered concerning how to do business with the federal government, if you have your own company. And my job now, I've had this job for about 4 months. I'm a contracting officer. My job is to buy from commercial companies. And we buy services, and we buy products. So what I can do in the second half of the call would be to talk to people that are interested in that. I can show you how to register your company with the federal government, how to research, find out the information you need to find out to become a federal contractor. And we can do that on the second half of the call. So those of you who are just interested in employment, you can drop off. It'll be a lot easier for you. Are there any questions so far?
No.
Well, Bill?
Yes.
You've mentioned a couple times about answering some questions, I guess, via email or something. Is there like a document or something you've made of that for the rest of us, or how?
I've done is I basically there was a whole list of questions, and Ava was keeping track of those, and I just took the ones that applied to anything with the federal government, along with people who had just questions, general questions about career change, and I answered those. And every email that I received, I answered. And some people replied to me, some didn't. But I was just trying to be a little more proactive and help some people out so you don't have to wait for the call. If you wanted to, I mean, I can go through some of the questions they would apply. I had one question from Cindy Harper. She wanted to know about federal government opportunities in Colorado Springs. Well, I told her how, first of all, look at the Air Force Academy. It's located in Colorado Springs. They hire civilians. There's also, depending how far you are from a major metro area. Now, when you use USA Jobs, one of the best ways to search, and it's something they added about 2 years ago, you can search on a radius of your zip code, which is really a nice tool to eliminate positions. You have to be really careful in USA Jobs about specifying a certain kind of job. For example, I want an accounting job. Well, they may not call it accounting. They can call it controlling. In some of your agencies, so you may not pick up that job. What I do is I look for every job in a radius of my zip code, say 50 miles. Then I go from there. I sort out from there. So that's one way of taking a look at metro areas, and as I mentioned to you, agencies that are around the area.
Bill?
I had another, like I mentioned to you, another question just about what industries are hiring. I mentioned the federal government. If you believe the Obama administration, that's 200,000 more jobs on top of the 46,000 that are available now. That's a lot of positions out there. I had another question that was related to just changing careers that I answered about somebody going back to teaching elementary school. I investigated all that about 5 years ago. I had a real good question from Paul Gagne concerning what the government looks for in a resume. And how do you apply your civilian work to a resume? And I replied back to him, I don't recommend using a resume with the federal government because you only confuse the HR people. There's a form out there on OPM that I use all the time. It's the OF-612, which is the optional application for federal employment. And I do not use a resume at any time. Now, whenever I get an interview, yes, I use my resume. Because it's hard to translate civilian experience sometimes to the federal government. So that's one thing you might want to look into when you go on the OPM site. I had another question from someone who was interest in federal employment, but they weren't a U.S. citizen, and that's pretty tough to do. Other questions concerning defense industry. What you want to do there are look at government contractors and go to work for them. So if you're not interested in working for the federal government, you need to find out what companies, and later on in the call I can give you a website to look up what companies are winning contracts with the federal government. Another question about career change, enhancing the career, two or three like that, certificate programs. The first thing I did when I went to Penn State, I got a certificate, graduate certificate, and then I moved on to the master's program. And I think or a certificate from a community college can help if you're looking to change and you want a quick way of changing your career path. So certificate programs are something to look into, and actually she replied and said she was looking at community colleges. I also had some questions on retraining and financial assistance. Most government agencies have tuition reimbursement programs, so it's a pretty nice thing to use. So this question's that nature. I answered 10 or 12. But again, if you're interested in sending me a question concerning yourself, what you want to do is just send it to my work. It's bill.costello, C-O-S-T-E-L-L-O, at A-N-G, Air National Guard, dot A-F, Air Force, dot MIL, M-I-L, for military. And also, I have another email, the college I teach. It's william.costello at BC, the number 3, dot edu for education. And I'll be happy to send you back a reply and help you.
Thank you.
Is there any other questions on that?
I have government experience back from 72 to 78.
Were you a federal employee?
I was, yes.
Yeah. Some jobs out there, again, I don't know the time frame. I'd have to point you to OPM, the OPM site, to research that. They also have an FAQ section. But you could possibly have reemployment rights.
Okay.
Now, did you leave on your own? Or was it a RIF?
Yes, I left on my own.
Yeah, okay. It won't hurt, believe me, especially when you do the OF-612, the optional application for employment. One of the first things they ask you is, have you ever worked for the federal government?
Okay, and I can find the OF-612 on the OPM site?
Yes, sir. Yes, you can. The application for federal employment. There's also some other, I guess you call them handbooks or booklets out there on OPM that are pretty nice, like tips for applying for a federal job, things of that nature. The main thing I want to stress to you here, and I did talk to a couple people about this on the phone, you'll look at these job postings, you'll say, oh my gosh, they want all this information? Well, yes, they do, okay? And if you don't follow the instructions exactly as what they say in there, forget it. So what you have to do is you have to, I print them out if there's something I think I'm qualified for, and do the online questionnaire if required. I print it out and I go through. A lot of them even give you a checklist and making sure you check off everything. If you can apply hard copy, I always apply hard copy. So the second thing would be to make sure you're qualified before you print off all that stuff and waste all that paper and ink. But what you want to do is make sure you – my first federal job, I ended up getting the job. It was delayed because there were two programs for Vietnam-era veterans, and I checked the wrong block. And I had to go through a rigmarole to change everything so I could check the right block. And it's one of the things when you work in corporate America for a long time, although, a lot of us have dealt with bureaucratic corporations. I mean, I work for IBM. But there's a lot of things in the government that are just stupid. But that's just how it is. And to fit into the federal government, you just have to do what they tell you. You got to do it because they say so. And with the application process, that's exactly the way it is. And you could miss one thing on an application and be rejected. Now, one good thing about the government, I will say this, Those of us who applied for positions, and you never hear anything, okay, from a corporation. If you do not get a job, they will send you a letter and tell you why. One time I applied for a job at the VA. I got a letter back saying the job was only open for current VA employees. Well, that's not what the thing said, okay, but that was the reason they gave. So one thing is nice, you'll get a letter. It may say something like, you know, you don't have the right qualifications in this particular area, things of that nature. So I applied for an OPM job one time, and I was pretty qualified. I didn't get it. Another thing I will caution you on the USA job site, if you see a job out there and it's posted, the same job posted for outside candidates and internal candidates, chances are they're going to hire internal. So if there's a lot of jobs and you're not really sure what to apply for, you're limited on time, I'd probably pass on those and look for ones that just say open to external candidates, or, you know, say something like must be a U.S. citizen, something of that nature. But it won't say you have to be a federal employee. Are there any other questions on that area? Hello?
Some of us are still here.
I thought I heard that crazy noise on there, and I was wondering what happened.
Still here.
Okay, good.
I'm still here.
Now, like I said, USA Jobs, I have it up and running. If anybody has a question, you know, I can jump on there anytime. The OPM site, this is a real good thing to take a note on. It's what I do, and as I mentioned to you, I've picked up 3 federal jobs in about 5 years, which is pretty good. I've moved up 2 entire pay levels, so I've increased my pay about $20,000 a year. But that's not a usual thing. It's hard to get in, and once you're in, it's hard to move up. So if you want to get in, do what I did. Take the pay cut, get in the door. Once you're in the door, then you have more opportunity because you can move around to other positions. But there's a lot of people who get into the federal government, they get stuck in one job, you know, their whole career. But there's opportunity out there, and if you have a federal position now, it really helps for the next one. So knock down the door, you know, get in, you know, take the hit on the pay, and then move from there. So on the OPM site, they have every job is out there, job series and job description. So if any of you pulled any announcements or anything off USA Jobs, like for example, my job is a GS 1102-11, okay? The 1102 is the job series. So what you can do is you can go on the OPM site, you can look up the job series. And some of it, like my particular job, there were like 80 pages of stuff you're supposed to do. But I didn't care about that. What I wanted to learn about was, what's the terminology, what are the jargon words, and what do they do? And I used that when I got an interview. I had all the information at my fingertips, and it was evident to the interviewers that I did my homework. But the reason I bring it up now is, if you're going to look for a job on USA Jobs, and you're not really sure what the job is, go on to that OPM site, look up the job series. You can pull the information there, and you can actually research it. It'll give you information. I have a copy of mine. And oh, by the way, for my job, the last time the government updated was 1983. Said information there about buying data processing equipment, you know, card punchers, things of that nature was in here. But it gives you a definition of the job series, the coverage, which are the positions that are in that series, and the type of work that you do. So you can find information out there which may help you, first of all, to determine whether you can even apply for the position. Maybe you don't even understand what it is because it's a government terminology. You're not sure how that applies to your civilian experience. And the third thing is it helps you apply because you can use the government terminology and jargon when you fill out your OF-612. So that's how I do it, and so far, so good. I know people personally that have applied for 20 or 30 federal jobs and never landed one. So my deal is I'm a big believer in doing research up front and making sure that I know what's going on before I move ahead. So that might be one area, the OPM site, you might want to look into as well. Okay, I'm going to pull up a job on USA Jobs here. And does somebody want to throw a zip code at me?
01760.
01760. Where's that located?
That would be Natick, Massachusetts, site of Natick Labs.
Home of the Patriots, boo! I just noticed I'm not out on USA Jobs too much anymore because I have a job. But they added another section here when you first log in. After you go to search jobs, it's jobs open by agency. That's pretty nice because if you're I know Natick. I used to travel to corporate a lot. I was a national account manager and a market developer. So I was in corporate probably half my career at Digital. I know the area up there pretty well. But if you're looking in that area or Boston or whatever, you could look at some agencies, certain agencies that have a presence in that area, and then go from there. All right, let's do that and go from there. See if we can find you something out there. How far do you want to drive?
Ten miles.
That all? Okay. All right, let's see here. I'll put in 10 miles. See what happens. Now keep in mind, some of us, I know I'm in my home office that I used to use. I worked for IBM and an IBM partner. I worked at my house, I guess at least 5 years, and now my kids took it over. So I got their computer here, but I'm back. I told my wife and my daughter I feel like I'm back working for IBM again here. But, I'm telling you. Well, I moved it out a bit. How far are you from downtown Boston?
I'm actually in Sudbury, which is 18 miles.
I went out 25, and there's 263 federal jobs out there. About a 25-mile radius of where you are.
Thanks.
I see one jumps up quite a bit, believe it or not, is the National Park Service. Facility Management Systems, Networking Specialist.
Bill, can you speak a little bit about the GS levels, how they relate?
Sure, absolutely. I'm a GS 11. I started as a GS 7. So I went, my base salary at my last job in IT was 70. Before Y2K, my base salary was nearly 100, not counting commissions and bonus. I started at $35,000 a year as a GS-7. Now, if you look at the pay, I actually have a pay chart I printed out for you, so I figured somebody might ask that question. Again, remember, locality pay. You're going to have a bigger locality pay in Boston than in D.C. or New York than you'd have out here. But if you take a look at the positions, that first job, GS-7, required a bachelor's degree. So that's GS-7 is where you start moving off of admin jobs into, I'd say, lower-level management positions, things of that nature. Now, you're going to find a lot of jobs out there in D.C. That are GS 15s, 14s, things of that nature. But as a GS 11, at any of these jobs, there are 10 pay steps for each GS level. Now, you might say, boy, that sounds good. I get 10 raises in 10 years. Well, it doesn't really work that way. the first 5 years, you get an automatic pay raise. Every year, the federal government gets a COLA, cost of living adjustment. So I get two raises a year. Now, in my last job as a GS-9, when you hit step 5, then you have to wait 2 years for your automatic raise. You still get your COLA. So it takes you basically 16 years to make 10 steps. So what I do is, when I get to the point where I'm getting towards like step 4 or 5, I start looking for another job so I can go get the automatic raises. I mean, I just had lunch with four of my buddies from DEC. They're all taking pay cuts. So I figure I'm doing okay if I'm getting pay raises instead of pay cuts. If you take a look at a, let's say, for example, if we took a GS-11 position, now this pay is from 08, okay, so it's a little bit higher, as I mentioned to you, because of the raises, automatic COLA. Step one is about $57,000 in Pittsburgh, and step 10 is $73,000. And that, when you look at the pay charts out on OPM, when you put in your city, you go for the state first, then you'll have your city, the closest location. It will figure in your locality pay. Our locality pay out here in the Pittsburgh area is about 15%. So whatever the base salary is, they add 15% to it. You're going to find that to be higher in other metro areas.
You automatically come in at step one?
Right now, yes. I'm a step one.
When you're hired, are you automatically a step one?
Yeah, that's part of the issue that you run into. And like I mentioned, I teach college, and I get a lot of adult learners, especially people who are out of work or changing careers. And you know, I'll point them to USA Jobs, try to help them, and they'll say, well, gee, that's not a bad pay range. Well, it's not a pay range, okay? You've got to start as a step one. However, the federal government is changing. They're moving away from this GS structured approach more to pay banding, which is what I had at IBM, where they bring you in a range. Maybe they have 5 bands, okay, and they bring you in depending on your experience. So if you go out there and you see a job that doesn't say GS, it may see something like YG or something of that nature, that could be a pay band job. So in the National Guard, at least in Pennsylvania, they've scrapped moving us from the GS to the pay banding system. However, across the field where I used to work at the Air Force Reserve as a civilian, the Air Force Reserve has gone to the pay banding. So in that case there, you actually could get hired in at a higher rate salary than you would normally. Also, the government has hourly positions. They're called WG, wage grade. Now, if you have a WG position, let's say you're a technician, you're eligible for overtime. In a salary position, GS, general schedule, we do not get overtime. However, we get compensation time. Now, I know that might be foreign to a lot of people that are out there. My first week on the job at the Air Force Reserve, I stayed about a half hour late to help somebody. I was their education officer there. And the next day, my manager asked me why I stayed. And I said, well, I stayed to help someone. She said, well, Bill, you can't stay. Because if you stay more than a half hour, you get comp time. And I said, what's comp time? I had no idea what it was. It's compensation time. Last Monday, I traveled to Florida on business. It was my day off. I get 9 hours of compensation time. It goes on the books, and I can use it like as a vacation day or something. Another thing nice about the federal government, a lot of federal government has compressed work schedule. I work a compressed work schedule. We work 80 hours in a two-week pay period. So what we do is we work 9.5-hour days, half hours unpaid lunch, and I get every other Monday off. So I was off today. Where I used to work before, some offices worked 10-hour days, 4 days a week. 10.5 hours, half hour unpaid lunch, they work 4 days a week. Another thing that's real nice, if a federal holiday falls on a weekend, like July 4th is on a Saturday this year, we get Friday off. We get off Martin Luther King Day, President's Day, Veterans Day, and one other crazy holiday. I can't remember what it is. But you get a little more extra time off. And very honestly, when I worked in the real world, I couldn't teach college because I didn't have the time. And I was always at a crazy schedule. I have a very predictable schedule. Now, I work a certain time, and that's about it. Now, the downside is if you're used to working at home, telecommuting, things of that nature, there's hardly any jobs that I know of in the federal government you can telecommute. So you're going to have to go back, you know, go to the office grind again, going in and do your thing and come home kind of thing. But very honestly, I worked at home for a long time, and I like the separation of the work from the family life. And working at home had its pluses and minuses, I thought. So I very honestly, I prefer just leaving, going to work, and coming home, and I'm done. That's one of the nice things. Any other questions on the GS thing?
Yeah, Bill?
Yes, sir.
This is the guy that asked about the 6 years of government service I had back in the 70s.
Yes.
What would you project would be how they would start me if I was qualified and got accepted to take a job on in the federal government?
That's a good question. Do you remember what level you were back in the day?
I was GS-11, yeah.
You were an 11. That's going to help you then, yeah. There's a possibility you can apply and earn the reemployment rights,
mm-hmm.
They'd bring you back in as 11. What step were you?
I don't remember.
Yeah, see, that's going to help you because if you were there, you said 5 years, 6 years?
6 years, yeah.
Yeah, you were probably a step six, okay, so that would bring you in a higher pay level. Again, based on 08, okay, I have to look at the numbers for 09 here, but that would bring you in about $7,000-$8,000 more a year than I started. That's Pittsburgh locality pay.
Yep.
Because in Boston, you're going to have a higher. You're in the Boston area, too?
I am, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I'm looking at this one job right now. It's a GS-11. It's a facility management system specialist for networking for the National Park Service.
Mm-hmm.
And it's open for U.S. citizens. There you go.
All right.
It's a GS-11.
Yep.
Here's the job series, 1601. You can look it up on OPM, and it'll tell you all about the job.
Okay, thanks.
We have a series of jobs. And then you have the specific jobs. So it'd be like a 1601, all these jobs. Then you can drill down into the specific other jobs.
Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. How about who wants to go work for the FBI up there?
Do I get to carry a gun?
Are there any people that know? Oh, absolutely. My last job, I was in charge of the weapons for my unit, so I had the Glock M9s and the M16s A2s in my inventory. There's actually an interesting position out here. It's an EEOC investigator, but you need to know Spanish and English. There's jobs at the Navy. A lot of Navy jobs up your way. I guess you must be near the ocean up there, huh?
Yes.
I remember those nor'easters getting stuck at Logan.
Yep.
There's quite a few Homeland Security jobs out here, too, in Boston area. Let's take a look at them. I think they're in the pay banding. It's a Management Program Analyst position. It's a GS-13. Now, that's one thing I wanted to bring up to you also if you're on USA Jobs. This particular position for the Homeland Security, it's listed as a GS 13/14. What that means is you go in as a 13, and then what it'll say, you work in that position 6 months, 9 months, a year, something of that nature, and if you're doing the job at an adequate level, you automatically move to 14. I had a friend of mine, she left the base, took an HR job as a GS-9 at the VA. I actually applied for it too, and I didn't get it. She did. Because it was a 9-11. 1 year, she moved it to 11. Now she's a 12. She's been there not even 2 years, and she's a 12 already. So there's opportunities like that out there. That's not a pay banded position, though.
I didn't know that.
There's jobs for the IRS in your office at the IRS. Also, all from Boston.
So did you say you were searching that by zip code?
Yeah, I actually went in there by zip code, and I also went in there by city. You can do either one.
Right.
Either one, you can put in the city or the zip. You can, and there's a drop down, and you can pick how many miles away, like 20 miles, 25, whatever. I pick 25. Yeah, there's a lot of jobs up in the Boston area. 263. Some of them close. The first set closes on the 10th of June. And they run out, there's quite a few that close in July. I'll go to the last page, I can tell you. 6 pages of jobs out here. They run out September, about the latest I see out here. So again, the day it closes, you better have everything there. If it's not there, forget it. Let's say repost it or something, you're out of luck. What I do is I send a hard copy. I send it like priority with the return receipt or something of that nature, so I know they got it. It's worth the money, the extra money. Yeah, I'm sorry, I don't know a whole lot about the pay banding. That's pretty new. I'm clicking on a few jobs here that may have pay banding. I found one here. Aerospace engineering position. It's with the FAA in Boston Logan Airport, and it's an FV series. So it's some kind of pay banding position. But again, I'd have to look on OPM. I don't really know all the designations on that. But one thing I would tell you is a lot of agencies that need people, they can't get them because of the money. So they'll go to the pay banding so they can give you more money to get you in. So apparently the FAA needs people. Okay, I was going to go back to the main screen here. Like I said, there's other ways you can search for a job by, they added agency now, and also by job type. Just be careful on job type. And I wanted to caution you that you might miss a job that way. Another thing you want to keep in mind are those field positions. So when you go to the very front screen on the drop-down. When you go on there, you could maybe look for jobs Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, but they'll have a thing called throughout Massachusetts or throughout New Hampshire. Those are sometimes field jobs, and they don't appear in your regular search. So you might want to find, like I mentioned, the USDA, the soil and agriculture type people that are out in the field, you know, testing things, work with farmers, things of that nature. A lot of jobs with the SBA, Small Business Administration, same thing. They're field positions. So you might want to make sure you don't miss those if you're going to apply.
So can you give your
questions?
Yes. Can you give your email again, please? I was scribbling like crazy.
Oh, no problem. It's Bill, B-I-L-L, dot Costello, C-O-S-T-E-L-L-O, at A-N-G, Air National Guard, dot A-F, Air Force, dot MIL, for military. And my college email is William.Costello at BC, the number 3, dot EDU, for education.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, but send me an email, and I'll do what I can to answer your question.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Any tips on, well, for example, I was applying for a job with the Army, and I went through USA Jobs, and to go through the process, it directed me to an Army site at Fort Belvoir.
Yes, yes, they use their own site. It's a Resimix site.
Right. Any tips on navigating through that the best?
I applied for one job with the Army. It was actually running the military entrance processing system downtown Pittsburgh. I didn't get the job. And actually, that was one of the few I never heard back from. Mostly every other job that I didn't get, I got a letter like I mentioned to you. You want to keep in mind, I would just, on a general note, ResumeX is what a lot of corporations use, and ResumeX is a filtering system. So that might be a good thing to go back to OPM and start looking up the federal terminology and using that, because when a resume comes through in ResumeX, it looks for certain keywords and phrases. It'll just eliminate you. And again, when I applied for that Army job, I didn't know all the things I know now about the federal government, because that was a few years ago. But you might want to go out, if you look at the job announcement, GS, the next four numbers, that's a job series. You go on opm.gov, you can look up the series, you can look up that specific job and then use terminology. I mean, that's how I wrote my term papers, in my master's. I would just, write it like I could, and I'd look up all the big words in the dictionary and put the synonyms in there. So it worked for me.
Uh-huh.
That's one thing you might want to look into, because that's one there where the Army will post their jobs on their Army site and also USA jobs. And so they just tell you to go back to the Army site.
yeah, that's what they did. I noticed the Air Force has their own system also.
Yeah, the Air Force does both now. They used to only do AFPC only. Then they went to USA jobs. And again, I want to caution you there. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of times for the military, they'll post like a blanket job for like anywhere in the world. You'll see like 2,000 bases listed there. I wouldn't waste my time. I would find out if from the Air Force or the Army, is the base in my area hiring, okay? And then you might want to apply, but you can waste a lot of time on that. AFPC is pretty nice. It's hosted at Randolph Air Force Base, Texas, and there's a map out there, and you go to Civilian Opportunities, and you'll get a map of the USA. All you do is you click on the state, and it gives you all the job openings. And it's really nice. Easy to use, and they still post their jobs out there. Like out here, I know Jack's from Ohio, the Ohio Bobcats out there, but Dayton, Ohio, which is about 5 hours from here, there'll be, at any one time, 20 to 50 jobs at Wright-Patt Air Force Base for straight civilians.
Now that's it. That's it. Randolph has that information?
Yeah, it's on my slide. I'll get, if you don't have the slide, I can give it to you.
Let's see, I've got...
Yeah, no problem. It's www.afpc, Air Force Personnel Center.
AFPC.
.Randolph, just like Randolph Scott, those of us that are old and remember his movies. .af.mil.
Just to deal with Randolph, I was working for a contractor running the mess hall at Natick.
Yep, they host the Air Force Personnel System at Randolph. I know of the armed services, the Navy, at least since I've been probably looking for a federal job, which has been, I guess, 6 years now, the Navy seemed to use USA jobs from the very beginning. But the Army and the Air Force, just in the last year or so, have been putting stuff on USA jobs. I'm not really sure about, like, the Coast Guard. I've never seen any Coast Guard, because they're part of, they're a Department of Transportation, I think, now. Or under Homeland Security.
I'm sorry, you did www.afpc.randolph.something, and someone talked over you. I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Oh, no problem. AF for Air Force, dot mil for military.
Thank you.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bill, could you repeat your email address once again, please? I lost the last part of it.
Oh, sure.
Thank you.
It's Bill, B-I-L-L, dot Costello, C-O-S-T-E-L-L-O, @ANG, Air National Guard, .AF, Air Force, .MIL, for military, M-I-L.
So it's I-N-G?
A-N-G, Air National Guard.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Alpha November Golf.
Got it, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't want to really confuse anybody. It's not a military person out there. Yeah, the other thing, if you're a veteran, especially, again, Vietnam or Vietnam era, that's automatic 5 points for a federal job. And I had somebody else, I think it was on a prior call, they asked about taking tests. I've landed three jobs, never took any type of civil service exam and all that. So I don't know where people get that idea, but that's sort of passe these days with the federal government. So if it says it, yeah, but I've never run into any that I've applied for that required it. But it will help you land a position if you're a veteran. Also, if you're any protected class, minority, female, things of that nature, it can help.
Bill, you said you searched by zip code from the homepage?
Actually, what you do is you go to the homepage. The very first screen, there'll be a picture of a person up there. Like, there's a guy holding a plant. They probably pay him GS-13 pay to hold a plant all day. But if you go on, just click on Search Jobs, and the first screen that comes up is this new thing, which is the agency, Jobs by Agency. And then it'll just show 5,000 jobs at a time. I mentioned to you there's 46,000 out there. And you can click on where it says postal code or city, and then do the drop down on the radius. Hey, is there anybody on the call that's from another area besides like New England or Boston area?
Colorado Springs area.
Okay.
California.
How close are you to Denver? Is that a long way, long drive over the mountains or something?
No, it's you know, it depends on where. There's different federal centers around Denver, certainly.
I'll just go to Colorado Springs and we'll see what happens. I'll do 10 miles. Now, it's interesting. I applied for an SBA position, Small Business Administration, mm-hmm. Straight civilian. See, I have enough time in the military. My job I have now, I have to be in the National Guard to hold my position. But I can retire from the military anytime I want. So what I want to do is I want to get a straight civilian job, because probably in a year they're going to send me away to the desert for about 6 months. So we'll see what happens. But I actually applied for an SBA job, and it was Denver where I sent all the information. I was communicating with them in Denver. So they must have a huge center for the SBA in Denver. And I didn't get the job, which I was shocked I didn't get the job. It was basically a sales job, sales and marketing position. So, but there's opportunity. Colorado Springs, hold on, let's see what we find here.
You're saying you're going to get sent to the desert?
My last job, I was the guy that sent people to the desert.
Now
the job I'm in now, it's the most highly tasked field in the Air Force for deployments. If you're active duty, every 6 months, you go to the desert. So when you re-up, re-enlist, you get a $100,000 bonus.
So you're going to Nellis?
No, I'll be going to probably Afghanistan or Iraq.
That desert?
Yeah, I'll take the mountains over the desert.
Bill?
I sent a guy from my office to Afghanistan. He'll be there for 6 months.
Bill?
There's a hundred.
Bill?
Yes, sir.
This is Jack Molesky, the moderator. You know, you said there were two stages to this call.
Yes.
And I don't know how much time you need to spend on the second one, but we only have a little over 20 minutes left. So I don't know how much time you intended to go through about people with their own companies dealing with the federal government, but we have a little over 20 minutes left.
Hey Jack, can we quickly poll the people if there's anybody? There may not be anybody on the call that's interested in that part of it.
Okay, let's just ask people that are interested to speak up.
Yeah, this would be if you have a company and you want to actually register and do federal business. That would be the point of that part of the call.
I just want to thank you, Bill, for this whole session. I'm going to drop off. This is Sheila. Thank you very much for your
input. Sheila.
Helpful. Appreciate it.
Okay, is there anybody that is interested in having their company deal with the federal government? Well, if not, then you can continue, Bill.
All right, Jack. Yeah, like I mentioned, too, like we said on an email, if there are people down the road I'd be happy to do another call for people that want to, you know, register their companies with the federal government. Actually, there are quite a few jobs at the Air Force Academy. Do you happen to know where Shriver Air Force Base is?
Yeah, I do. That's further east, but that's fine. There's a lot going on out there, I know.
Yeah, there's a public affairs specialist position there. That'd be an interesting job. Now, that's a job like mine, however. You have to actually be in the Air Force Reserve to hold the job. That's an Air Force Reserve technician position.
Gotcha.
And that pays up to $92,000 a year on that pay banding system. Are you a physically fit person? They
yeah.
need a lot of instructors for physical education up at the Air Force Academy.
Really, my skills are more in the technical area.
Okay.
Yeah, computer science and statistics. I'm in cut and pound as well.
Yeah, there's I'll tell you what, I'm actually surprised there's that many positions near Colorado Springs. There are 146 positions listed.
Oh. You know, Bill,
how far away are you from Denver? Approximately mileage?
50 miles.
All right, I'm gonna put in 75, and we'll see how many more jobs pops up from that. I'll give you an idea. Past, you know, if you go out to Denver, we'll take a minute here. They have a lacrosse coach job open at the Air Force Academy, a fencing instructor, combat skills. That's right, my alley.
Bill, Jack Maluski on the phone here. While you're doing that, I just want to remind anyone that wants to drop off the call that you, as Bill suggested, you could email him with other questions. But the other issue is the recording of this call will be on the website. Whenever we get the recording, it'll probably be a week or so.
Okay.
So just an FYI for all of you that... Or for friends that were not able to be on this call who want to listen to it, it will be recorded in MP3 format and will be placed on the Deck Connection website. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Yes, sir. The gentleman from Colorado Springs.
Yes.
If you throw Denver in there,
huh?
226 positions.
Over 226, you said?
Yes, sir. Anybody else from Mass, New Hampshire, or New England, Maine, anywhere?
Yeah. what's the terminology for, I guess, a more of a software engineering type position?
Okay.
You know, maybe programming or something.
Yep. What I do there is I go back to the first page and I take a look at the drop-down for all the jobs that are out there. In the computer area, technical... they're very similar to the commercial area. So, you know, networking specialist, database administrator, things of that nature. You're going to see similar terminology.
What was that drop-down?
There's a drop-down when you do your search. You can type in, like, a keyword. Can you give me an example of what you're talking about? What would you call your the kind of job you do? Can you give me like one keyword?
Well, I guess maybe programmer or
okay.
software engineer or something.
All right. I'll try software engineer. And I'll type in, just for argument's sake, Denver, because this is a gentleman from Denver or Colorado Springs, correct?
Well, I'm in New Hampshire.
Oh, you're in New Hampshire? I'm sorry. Let me go back then. My apologies. I'll just type in NH for New Hampshire. Let's see here. A lot of jobs, but it wasn't... okay, I typed in the state. Let me try. state. Let me just try the. What's the city nearby you?
Nashua.
Okay. I put in the postal code. That didn't work. Upper engineer. Up with 106 positions with engineer in the title.
Okay.
Yeah, some were engineering positions, some were software engineering. So you could do a search like that. Like I mentioned to you, you got to be careful on that because if you don't type in exactly, then you may miss one. The best thing to do is do the, and I can just tell you from experience that I've been down that road, okay, I'd miss a position. I do it always by location, and then I sort from there.
Okay.
And a programmer. Let me try program. That'd be interesting just to see. Yeah, it's not a bad. It's not a bad system for looking things up. I had just a friend of mine recently. He applied for a position. He's a assurance, software assurance guy. You know, security, things of that nature.
Uh-huh.
And there was a job at the VA he applied for up here in about 25 miles from me, and it's basically the same job he did in the commercial world.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, yeah, it was programmer analyst, they call them. So there's systems programmer, programmer analyst, information technology specialist. They come up under that, too.
Okay.
There you go. Looking to get in, you know, I'll tell you who would really be hiring a lot of technical people is the Census Bureau. Because when the census comes up, they hire a lot of temps. But that's way one way you can get in, and then you can find a regular position, because you're considered a federal employee when you're on a temporary tech status like that.
Ah.
Are anybody else have any questions or need any more assistance?
Bill, I do. I'm Judy. And I'm looking at a code that says it's YC. What's a YC?
Yeah, that's those are the pay banding things I mentioned earlier, Judy.
Oh, okay.
I really don't know much about that, but I would have to say you'd have to go on to the opm.gov, opm.gov site.
Uh-huh.
You have to look that up. Because I mentioned to you, some agencies are moving from the WGGS to pay banding. The good news is you may be able to get hired in a little higher pay based on your civilian experience. But in my where I work, the state of Pennsylvania, for my where I work, the National Guard, they decided not to do it. They scrapped that whole thing. So, and part of the reason they did that is that we actually have like sort of like a quasi-union, and they fought it. So that's part of the reason they don't have that.
Okay.
But I'm sorry I can't help you on that.
That's all right. I had another question. I have an undergrad degree from outside of the U.S.
Yes, ma'am.
So what would they need from me as proof? Do they need anything as proof I am a U.S. citizen?
Yes. What I've done is, and it's been different things, I've been able to qualify for a job. The job I have right now were unofficial transcripts right off Penn State's website. The first job I had to provide official transcripts. So it all depends on what they require. But if you can get transcripts from a university in another country,
mm-hmm.
you're fine.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome, Judy. Anybody else?
This is Jack Molesky, the moderator. I didn't hear anybody else with any other questions. Do you have any final statements, Bill?
Jack, I think we pretty much covered it. Again, I'd be happy to help anybody. Just, you know, contact me with email, and I'll reply to you. I'll do the best I can to help you. And I would just say, make sure you know what you're getting into. You know, you got to know up front when you make a career change. Like I just told some people today at lunch, when you make a career change, you're probably going to take a pay cut. So, you know, be aware that the federal government doesn't pay like we're used to making in corporate America. On the other hand, I worked for 8 companies in 23 years, and 7 are gone. So I had enough of that. So I'm glad I worked for the federal government. And like I mentioned, you get automatic raises. One of the big benefits is a pension. I have a defined benefit pension plan, which is unheard of these days. I work for IBM. IBM got rid of their pension. So if I would have stayed at IBM, I'd have been screwed. So good news for me is I got a pension. I actually get 2 pensions out of this job. I get a military and a civilian pension. So keep that in mind. I would also say to you, and I did the calculation, it looks like a big pay cut until you figure out the net amount of money. I used to pay $30,000 to $50,000 a year in taxes. Now I pay $10,000 a year in taxes. So when you really look at the bottom line, how much money you're putting in your pocket, when I was working for Ernst & Young, I was making a good bit of money for this area, and I figured I was working for 5 months a year to pay taxes. And I was traveling on the road, and I was working 60 to 80 hours a week. I was working every Saturday, and when you really look at it, you're not making a whole lot of money when you pay all the taxes. And the other thing, too, I think really would be the quality of life. Basically, I have a job. I go in. I do my work. I go home. I'm done. I don't have to deal with stuff in the evenings. You know, I don't get phone calls at home, and I don't have to be on conference calls at night and all that good stuff, except what I want to. So overall, it's a pretty good thing. And you can really have a career in the federal government. I've had some of my friends that left industry. In fact, my boss did that. He worked in the telecom industry. And he says, I wish I had went to the federal government sooner. I don't feel that way. I think I rode the IT gravy train till it pulled into the station. And I was basically taking pay cuts my last 3 years, selling more, making less. So, by the way, that company's been bought twice since I left. So it's a good place to be. I think you got to look at the whole package. About a year and a half ago, I had a really, really good offer to go back to the real world, to go to work for an IBM business partner and take an ownership position in the company. And I did the math on it. I would have made significantly more money, but I didn't have the pension. I didn't have the matching of the 401k. The federal government matches up to 5%. The benefits of the federal government, they're really not that great. The health insurance is, there's numerous plans, and it's fairly reasonably priced because the federal government buys a lot of health insurance. We have no dental. We have no eyeglass care. We have no disability, none of that stuff. So people think the federal government benefits are pretty good. They aren't. But if you need health insurance, yeah, their health insurance is there, and you also get a pension. And you can probably stay as long as you want, unless you, you know, commit a crime or something. You're in pretty good shape.
You're saying no disability available?
You can buy it, but it's not provided by the federal government. You have to buy it on the open market. Yes, there is none.
And what's the vesting period for the pension?
Oh, it's 5 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. One other thing, too, I'm glad you brought up the disability insurance, because that leads me to something else, is the amount of what the government calls leave, okay? Vacation is called annual leave. When you start out, you get 4 hours of pay period. There's 26 pay periods. You know, 26 is 80 hours in the two-week pay period. I get 6 now, and if you're a veteran, they'll take any of your active duty time and add it to your leave status date. So you can pick. I get 6. You can go up to 8. So when I'm with the government, I believe it's 12 years, I get 8 hours of vacation, one day every 2 weeks I accrue. You also get 4 hours of sick leave, unlimited. Now, that doesn't go up, okay? But right now, I have about 3 months of sick leave on the books. So about 8 years ago, I was in an accident, and I busted my femur bone. I almost died. And I was off work for a couple months. Right now, if I was in an auto accident, something of that nature, I would get full pay in benefits for as much time as I have on the books or sick leave, so about 3 months. You can accrue as much sick leave. There's no limit on it. That's a pretty nice benefit to have, too. But there is no disability insurance unless you buy it on the outside. And very frankly, compared to the benefits, if I had a Digital or IBM or any place like that, the benefits aren't that good. People always think the benefits are great, the federal government. That shows they don't do any research.
Okay, well, Bill,
fits or anything?
You know, you were talking about this retirement pension. I have a relative that was old enough that she was on the civil service type of thing, but I heard that that had changed to more of a 401k thing. Maybe I was wrong on that?
So there's actually what I'm in right now is the Federal Employment Retirement System called FERS. Well, that in the 80s, they went to FERS, which is I have to contribute about, I think it's 6%. The rest of it, 94%, the government puts into the pension. But it's a defined benefit pension plan. The previous system, which was called CISR, it was like civil, I can't remember what it stood for. That's way before I joined the government. That was very liberal on leave. There was no contributory money to the pension at all. And that they could accrue like unlimited vacation time. They could cash in their sick leave, things of that nature. But they stopped. That was about 1985, I believe. They went away from the CISR system to the FERS. But there still is a defined benefit pension plan with FERS.
Okay, this is Jack Molesky. Bill, it sounds like on balance, the federal government was better than selling PCs for Digital.
Well, Jack, I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed my time at Digital most of the time I was there, and I had a lot of help from people at corporate in my jobs, so I wanted to at least help some people if I could. It was a good place to work, and I wish it was still here, but unfortunately it isn't, so. But very frankly, I don't the only thing I miss about IT sales is the freedom I had when I was in sales. I don't miss anything else about the corporate world, very frankly. I'll just be honest with you.
Okay, well, very good. All right, I just want to remind everyone, if you do have additional questions as they come up, Bill gave his address to many people here, and we'll publish that on the Internet if you haven't already gotten it. I just want to say also that the recording will be available, and if some friends would want to hear it, it'll be available probably a week or so on the Internet. The other thing I want to say to the audience is thank you very much for dialing in and for being a member of DEC Connection, and remind all your friends they should join. Finally, you know, we have other events that we'd like to have planned. So if you have ideas of either con calls like this, some people had recommended like financial and retirement funds and things of that nature, or events if you're in primarily the Boston area. You know, we've had a number in the last several years. So give us your feedback. You'll also probably get a survey on this call, and I appreciate it if you could give us that feedback so we could improve things on future calls. Again, I want to thank the audience, but I also want to thank Bill. I've been listening to this. I'm not looking for a federal government job, but I think, Bill, you did a fantastic job on this call. I hope everybody feels that way, but I thought you did a terrific job.
Oh, thanks, Jack. Not bad for a rookie, I guess.
Yes, thank you, Bill.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah,
very much,
thanks.
Bill.
If I can help anybody, just you know, send me an email and we'll go from there, all right?
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Take care.
Good night.
Good night.
Oh.